Hey everyone, it's Dev. Welcome back to An Emo Girl's Guide to the Galaxy. This is a safe space for readers, weebs, emos, and everyone in between. So if you love sarcasm and hate the patriarchy, you've come to the right place.
We have to start with an update today because Dev has like the best news ever. She has multiple good news things, so take it away, Dev.
Yes, okay. To talk about what we've been up to, remember last week I had said I had a mystery package from Penguin Random House coming, and I manifested that it was going to be Cassie Clare's new fantasy series, a Sword Catcher, and I was right. I got a freaking Sword Catcher package in the mail that day.
It's so beautiful.
And it was glorious. If anybody wants to see pictures and videos, I'm sure by the time this is up, I will have tons of content on my Instagram, so you can go check it out.
Never stop taking pictures of it.
I know, I posted on my Instagram when it came in that it was going to be my personality for the rest of the year, and like, I'm not lying. This is going to be my personality forever. I am going to stop everything I'm doing. Zelda is going to take a break, because I need to binge. Yes, I need to binge this book ASAP, and I need to know what happens, and I need to know how Cassie writes adult spice, because this is important information that everybody
needs to know. It's always been fade to black. We need these questions answered.
We need to know how explicit her scenes are, so I will be here to answer everybody's
burning
question.
It's for science, Dev.
I will have a spice rating hopefully soon. It's a thick book, so it's going to take me some time, but yes, best news of the month, the week, the year.
It's so pretty.
Forever.
Like, it looks like the book. Like, it looks like
it's so nice and shiny. And it came with
a sleeve.
The
character
with
sleeve.
Art on it that has the spoiled
the
prince.
Character
and
art
the
suspiciously
stolen boy.
Looks like Will Herondale, but I'm not mad about it.
And I was showing Goob the sleeve, and I was explaining to him what the book was about, and I kept flipping it from one side to the other, because I was like, this is the stolen boy, this is the spoiled prince, do you see how they look alike? Because this one is trained to be this one's sword catcher.
Was he like, okay?
And then, yeah, and I was like, get it, sword catcher, in case, like, somebody tries to come in and, like, unalive him, and he started laughing, and he was like, oh, I actually thought you meant literally, like, catch his swords for him
okay,
in his
literally,
head.
Literally, that's what I thought. That's what I thought it was. I thought he was like the Bat Boy, but like for medieval times.
So that was fun. And I was like, no, he's like, you literally catches his sword in his chest.
With his body.
It's the first line of defense if the prince tries to get assassinated. So I will keep everyone posted, and I'm so excited. My second piece of, I don't know if this is a good news, it's just, like, funny news, but I was introduced to a new band called Masked Intruders, and apparently the bit is that they dress up with masks, and they do all of their shows as if they're actually going to, like, intrude into people's homes, and
it's
all
a
of
thing.
Their songs.
I had to Google it before we started
all
this
of their
episode,
songs and lyrics.
I was dying.
All of their songs and lyrics are about, like, stalking from afar, or like there was one that was like, I want to love you for 25 to life, something like that. And I started, like, when I heard the song, I was telling him, like, oh, I'm gonna overlay all of those TikTok stories of all of the girls who are like, I've been pen pals with this prison inmate for years, like our love story. And I'm like, I'm gonna take all those snippets and clips and like overlay this song of like, love you for 25 to life on them. But yeah, it's actually, the songs are really catchy and really good, and I was like, I'm surprised that I like this, but I'm also not surprised, like, this is really fun.
I mean, the pictures I saw were hilarious, so.
Yeah, so if you need a new band to listen to, try the Masked Intruders.
And Matt Casket?
Matt Casket, yeah, Matt Casket and Breaks. Matt Casket is a little bit, you know, on the safer side, does not talk about intruding into people's houses, but it's some good
pro
pop
or
plug,
a con,
so.
Depending on where you stand.
Yeah, not as interesting, not as exciting, you know, won't get the adrenaline up in that way, but still some good jams. All right, that's it on my end. So what about you, Loretta? What are you up to?
I mean, nowhere near as exciting news, but I am excited because yesterday was Stuff Your Kindle Day, which I had a ton of fun. I downloaded so many things that I'm not going to read. I can't even remember. One of them had to do with, like, an imaginary friend, and this girl has an imaginary friend. It was a fantasy book, so I think it's in, like, another land or reality.
Yeah.
But she might be royal? I can't remember. But there's something about an imaginary friend, and then she, like, meets him in real life, and she's like, oh my god, you're the person I thought was fake. And he's like, oh my god, you're the person I thought was fake. And, like, she was his I don't know. And I read the summary, and I was like, this sounds insane, and I need it. So I downloaded that. I downloaded a smutty Wizard of Oz book. I don't know how that's going to work, but I'm down. So anyway, that was exciting. And I had no idea. Yesterday, I saw a bunch of people posting about Emily McIntyre, the author of Hooked and Scarred and I forget what the series is called. The Neverland series or something. I didn't realize. Yeah. I don't follow her.
I think it's Never After, but never I could after, be wrong.
Something never. Never something. Mm-hmm. We'll put it in the notes. But I don't follow her because I've never read her books and I didn't know what was going on with her. But she is battling cancer right now. And I think she was about to go or has gone through her last chemo treatment. So everyone was celebrating and promoting her stuff. So I went on Barnes & Noble and I was like, I'm totally going to support her and buy her books. So I bought the first two books and Barnes & Noble is having a buy one, get one 50% off sale. So I was like, hell yeah.
That's cool.
So I got the first two of her books and I got the first two Scarlet Persephone. What's her Persephone series?
Oh, yeah. I don't.
Hades and Persephone. Into the Darkness or something?
Oh, yeah, it is called Hades and Persephone. The Hades and Persephone series. Okay, cool.
I got the first two of
those. A Touch of Darkness.
Okay.
Yes.
I got the first two of those and the first two Emily McIntyre books, so I'm excited. And I got a bunch of random manga for my Kindle Fire. Mm-hmm. I got them through. I aspire to be a manga girly, and I want that so bad for myself. I just have not been able to, like, something about reading manga, I can never, like, focus. I can read webtoons all day. I don't know what it is about manga that I just cannot focus. I don't know. But I'm going to make it happen. So I bought a bunch of first edition, like, first volumes of some series, and I'm going to try to read them, but I'm excited.
I know. I really want to be a manga girl, too, but I am stuck in my only read the popular series phase or watch the anime first and then go into the manga. So, good thing we have Goob around because he's a huge manga anime nerd and can give us all of the recs.
Yeah, he can help us. I ended up buying one called My Happy Marriage, which I think is going to turn into an anime on Netflix soon, which is cool. I got The Dragon's Betrothed. I have no idea what it's about, but there's two guys on a cover, and I think one's a dragon or something. I don't know, but I'm down.
That sounds cool. I'm here for dragons.
I got The Savior's Book Cafe Story in Another World, which is literally about a girl who, like, owns a bookstore or something, and then she ends up, I think, inside one of her books, and then she falls in love with one of the guys, and I was like, I'm down. Yeah. And then A Sign of Affection. So hopefully one of those will stick. I don't know.
Yeah, those all sound really good. We'll put the links in the description for anybody who wants to read along.
But yeah, that's all I got.
Awesome. Also, last thing before we jump into our main topic, it is, as of us posting and recording this episode, July officially. So we are starting our first ever Fable Book Club this month.
Yes.
So if anybody out there wants to join us, feel free. What are we reading again?
Curse of Saints.
We are reading Curse of Saints by Kate Dramas.
So I have a really crazy story about it. And at the end of the month, we're going to have an episode about the book that we read. So you will get to hear the crazy story that I have about this book.
Yes.
But I'm excited.
And the really cool thing about Fable is that it has prompts and it has open boxes per chapter, just per book, for everybody to go in and write their thoughts mm-hmm. and ask questions. So
there won't be any spoilers because they section everything out by chapters. So if you have a thought
yes.
and you want to comment on something, you can totally just go to the chapter and make a comment, and no one who hasn't read it will see it. So
yes. And so that is how we are going to be using it. It's going to be a really good tool for us to compile community comments and questions and thoughts that we can then bring into our episode so we can all talk about it together. So it'll be really fun.
It's the Emo Girls Guide book club. So you can download the Fable app and search it. I have it linked in my Instagram links, and it's linked on our website. And so you can go and find us.
Yeah, and we'll leave it in the description for everyone, too. I'm excited for that, honestly.
Me, too.
Okay, but to jump back into...
It's part three of our Shadowhunter annotation...
Yes, it's our final. It's the finale. Part three, the end of an era. We are discussing...
it's just going to be Dev talking the entire time.
Yes, the Lit Joy Crate special editions of The Mortal Instrument. So for those of you who are skipping around on episodes and are listening to this first, we both have the special edition Lit Joy Crate set of Mortal Instruments, and within the box set, Cassie actually annotated each book and has a bunch of little fun facts in there for everybody as they're doing a reread or a read through. So we thought that we could spill some tea on all of her insights for everybody who didn't want to spend an arm and a leg on this box set like we decided to do because we are irresponsible with our monies. Yeah. Just kidding.
Who needs retirement?
If you have the funds, buy all of the books. That's my motto. You know,
these are crazy times. Comfort yourself however yes. you need to.
End of days, who knows? There's a lot of stuff going on right now. If you want that
escape into another reality.
Get it. but we can just jump right in. So we're starting with book five. It is City of Lost Souls.
This is my favorite
one. For those who are following along, I was the one who looked through and tracked down all of the annotations. So you're going to be hearing my voice a lot, like Loretta said. But I am just going to kick things off. So on page 41, I love Easter eggs. If you know me, you know that I'm here for all of the secrets and all of the fun little, like, throwbacks to the prequel world or the future worlds or whatever it might be. So, on page 41, Alec is with Magnus, and Magnus has a little silver box. And he looks at the box and he sees that there are the initials WS carved on the top. So the exact quote is, "It was like a miniature metal chest set on small feet with a curved top and the initials WS picked out in diamonds across the top." And then Alex thinks to himself, "W," he thought, "Will?" question mark. And Magnus said, "It's a snuff box." And at this time, Alec is, like, kind of self-conscious. Obviously, him and Magnus are still kind of, like, new to each other. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, do I need to be jealous? Do I not need to be jealous? Like, what is this? And Cassie writes on the side that the WS stands for Woolsey Scott,
is
the werewolf from the Infernal Devices.
I haven't thought about Woolsey Scott in a hot minute.
I just love that little fun fact because he was one of my favorite characters when I did read The Infernal Devices.
Yeah, he's such chaos.
And so, yeah, and so if anybody is like me and loves the side characters from all of the different stories, that is a little tidbit. And I don't think he ever goes on to say that it is actually Woolsey Scott's in this little blurb. Like, they just move on from the fact that he has a snuff box. That's not his.
Yeah.
That's, like, from somebody else.
That's
so now we know whose snuff box it is. It's Woolsey Scott's.
Huh.
And this is in the chapter Thorns for anybody who's curious and wants to go find it in their own book. So it's probably not page 41 for you, but it's in that chapter. Okay, and then moving on to the chapter Bad Angels, which is page 55 for me. So if you have a hardcover, it might be around there for you. They are talking about books. I'm trying to see. So Clary is in the library, and she's looking at the books and looking at all of the titles. And she says, there were books up here too, but they were locked away behind glass cases. Some look very old, their covers frayed, their bindings reduced to a few strings. Others were clearly books of dark or dangerous magic, unspeakable cults, the demon pox, a practical guide to raising the dead. And on the side, Cassie writes, Unspeakable Cults is a fictional book of occult knowledge in Lovecraft's Cthulhu mythos. Which I thought was really cool that she has, yeah, that she has a callback to, like, one of the early, like, horror authors out there. Yeah. And threw it in her book as if it was, like, actually Shadowhunter lore, but it's just, like, a fictional book in somebody else's mythos. It's so insane to me that she has all of it. I'm like, I have that sitting on my shelf. Have I read it? No. But, like, now I want to read it so I can be like, oh my god, this is in Shadowhunters. But yeah, so if anybody wants to go read Lovecraft's Cthulhu mythos and go seek out occult knowledge, Unspeakable Cults.
Who doesn't, you
That's
know?
Where that's from. Yeah. Okay, and then moving on to page 74 in my book, that is, let me see, chapter and immortality. Also, a lot of the stuff that's in the last two books are more of her thoughts and just, like, tidbits of, like, this is what I was talking about, or this is what the reference is, and nice. A lot less of, like, her feelings on things from the past four books.
Yeah, the first three where it was a lot of, like, oh, this is sad, poor, I don't know.
Yeah.
Poor Alec, no, this one is a lot. Whatever. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, this is a lot just more, like, fun facts and less so of her, like, inner turmoil about writing people dying.
Yeah.
But in the chapter And Immortality on page 74, she, is talking about, Alec is talking to Camille. So Alec goes to visit Camille.
Oh, Camille.
And she is reading a book, and it's a book in French that's translated to the title, The Place of the Star. I'm not even going to try to pronounce this because I don't know French at all, but it's by Patrick Modiano. And she wrote in here, my favorite book in French, with, like, a little smiley face. And I'm like, of course you Cassandra can read Clare.
French.
Yeah. Like, of course, Cassie. No, she doesn't read just books in English. She reads books in French, too.
Stop it. Like, oh, my gosh.
Of course. She's like, yeah, I read classic books. I read books in different languages that may or may not have been translated to English. Like, I'll just read it in their origin language. Like, it's fine. I did not look up what this book is about, but you know what? We're going to do this real time, and we're all gonna do it together. The Place of the Star. But if anybody's interested, it's The Place of the Star by Patrick Modiano. It says, let's see, the Wikipedia page. The novel, which draws on elements of autobiography, recounts the story of Raphael Shlemilovich, a French Jew born just after the war, who is haunted by the war and by thoughts of persecution. The hero, who is also the narrator, tells the story in a hallucinatory manner, mixing reality and fictitious personal events.
Whoa.
That's kind of cool, actually.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It says, the title is a play on words, reflecting both the star that Jews were forced to wear under Nazi rule, and Place de l'Étoile, the traffic circle around the Arc de Triomphe in Paris.
Oh.
Which, again, all of this stuff, like, I'm learning so much about her as a regular person.
Yeah.
Because I just learned that she's Jewish, and she mixed in so much of her Jewish background in these books. Mm-hmm. And, like, it just goes into all of her, like, her favorite books, her everything.
I feel like that adds a level to Simon's character that wasn't there before.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And so, now we know. And if anybody wants, I kind of want to read this book now, but.
I know.
Yeah.
The Cassie's English version.
Book in French. Yeah, not in French, unfortunately.
I'm not that fancy.
But Cassie's favorite book is, in French, is The Place of the Star, Patrick Modiano.
How many other favorite language books do you have? I need to know.
How many languages can
Please
you read
Please give
in?
Us a list, yeah.
But yeah, that was a fun fact. I like that one. Okay, so let me go into where the next one is, which is way further on deep because I skipped all of the, I feel like this and this and that because I was getting tired of those. Yeah. So in this chapter, A Sea Change, in my book, it's page 156, Magnus is talking about Parabatai, and he says, "I know about Parabatai," said Magnus. "I've known Parabatai so close, they were almost the same person. Do you know what happens when one of them dies? It's the one who's left." And then Isabel cuts him off. And, on the side, Cassie says, "Those who have read Infernal Devices will know what Magnus is talking about." So, Magnus is referencing, obviously, Will and Jem. Yeah.
It's so crazy.
But I just thought that was interesting, because it's so, like, generic and vague that, like, you wouldn't think twice about it. But if you did have the context, you'd be like, oh, yeah, that does sound like Will and Jem.
It's so crazy now, like, hearing about this stuff, because, like, the first time you read it, obviously, intellectually, I knew that he's old and he's been around a long time, but you don't really comprehend it. And now it's crazy, like, having read all these books and seeing him, like, reference this old stuff. Like, you've seen it all, bro. It's so crazy. Like,
yeah.
You've seen so much shit.
Also, I just, once again, I feel like this is the curse of big worlds and magic and when it's so open-ended. But, like, how could Magnus be around for so long, but then not follow anybody's like, how do you not know Jace isn't really who everybody thinks he is? Like, how, I mean, at this point in time, everybody knows who Jace really is now, but, like,
before,
if you're mortal and you've been around, like, you would know
about the Parabatai
curse. Yeah, you would know who they look like. You would know where they come from. Or at least, like, I think you would. I don't know any immortal people, so I can't say. But, like, you've been around. Like, can't you, you know the history. Everybody's like, oh, yeah, it's a part of Shadowhunter history that's been, like, lost to the world. And I'm like, but what about all of the people who were there?
I know. Like, yeah, people were, like, there to witness it all, so.
Yeah.
I wonder if Magnus, like, I don't know, goes away for a while, or I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's explained away by, like, his vacations and stuff, or, like, he goes to different countries, I guess, but.
I mean, I can understand him wanting a break from everybody.
From the dramatic Shadowhunters who only want to use him for his magic. Yeah. But you would think that, like, after all the years, they would invest in hiring an immortal to, like, keep historical records of stuff. I don't know.
Stop using common sense, Dev. How dare you?
You would think that they would have invented logic their own DNA at a time like tracking this system. Anyway, I love Cassandra Clare books. I love the Shadowhunters, and I will die on that hill. I'm trash. You know,
I throw shade, but science. I eat the shit up, so yeah. I can't talk.
Yeah, I will buy all the special editions, so I can say whatever I want.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on to the next one. This is in the chapter Fire Test Gold on page 173 in my book. She's talking about an apartment, and I don't know where exactly they are, but she is saying, this is like the description, this is important to the little tidbit. She's saying, everything was very modern, from the black leather chairs to the large fireplace, framed in washed chrome. There was a fire blazing in it, so someone else must be home, or must have been very recently. The other half of the room was taken up with a large television screen, a glossy black coffee table on which were scattered games and controllers, and low the other couches. A set of glass stairs led upward in a spiral.
Oh, is this the house that Valentine has?
Yeah. Yeah,
the floating they're in one that, the, like, can travel different places. I loved that shit.
She's in the house with, I want to say, no, where is she? I was going to say with Sebastian and Jace.
I thought they were both there, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, she is. She's talking, she's trying to contact Simon. Yeah. So she just got there, and now she's trying to see if the ring that she's wearing to talk to Simon is working.
That's right. Because
they get it from...
Yeah, she's worried about Jace, so she's trying to save him, right?
Yeah, so she leaves, and they go talk to, what's her face? The fairy, the queen, the fairy, whatever she's called.
I forget,
And you mean. And she gives them the rings, and then you find betrayal. But she's trying to see if it tested, so she's going through the house that she's in now, where
Jace
and Sebastian all stay. So that anyway, shit was so weird. The house is very modern, and Cassie's little note is, this is exactly my least favorite kind of decor.
Same, girlfriend.
So my note that I wrote is, Cassie does not like modern decor, LOL. I just thought it was funny that she gave Valentine and Sebastian a modern-looking house, because obviously they're villains, and they would have very terrible taste in house decor.
It kind of fits, though, too, like, cold and sterile, and I don't know.
Yeah, like, lifeless, no color, yeah. Makes sense. I also don't like modern decor, just modern, though. Like, it has to be, like, farmhouse modern, or, like,
something else. Yeah, that's true.
I
can take some modern as long as there's, like...
Yeah.
As long as everything's not, like, white and minimalist.
Yes, yes. I need, like, I like the crisp lines and, like, the cleanliness of it, but it needs to have, like, color. Yeah, exactly. But I am also not here just for, like, the pure white.
Yeah.
The pure white of everything. Because everything's going to get dirty. Like, white couches? No.
I know. How stressful would it be to live in a place like that? No, thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Now, jumping into the chapter, The Wild Hunt, and in my book, it's page 221, there's a little blurb at the bottom where they're talking about mermaids. So, Jace says, mermaid, there are old families of them that have lived here in Venice a long, long time. They're a little odd. They do better in clean water, far out to sea, living on fish instead of garbage. And Cassie has in here, mermaids, people often ask, what kind of downworlder? And then she says, they are fairies.
Oh. That's cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so anybody who was wondering what mermaids are, they're a type of fairy.
Oh, okay.
That so I thought that was a little fun tidbit. Okay, so in the chapter, Ascribe All Sin, page 261. Let me see what I wrote here. Okay. So, there's a scene between Clary and Sebastian, and he is wearing a bracelet, so he reaches up and brushes away hair that had fallen into her eyes. Lights sparked off the bracelet he wore, the one she had noticed before, with letters etched into it. And it says, I think this is Latin, and I'm going to try my best, but I don't know what it says. It says, Acarnota movabo? I don't know.
Where's Roman Lynch when you need him?
I know. It's some type of Latin. And it says, boldly she put her hand on his wrist and she asks him, what does this mean? He looks at her and says, it means thus always to tyrants. Cassie says, Sebastian is lying. This always to tyrants is sic semper tyrannis, which I feel like we've all heard at some point in time.
Familiar,
like, it's a very popular Latin phrase. Mm-hmm. I also wrote in my notes that she says that he's lying and doesn't tell us what's on the bracelet, but she doesn't tell us what it actually says. And so I Googled it, and what it actually says is, I will raise hell. The full line is, if I cannot move heaven, I will raise hell. And it's from, like,
I've heard that before.
I want to say a play. Yeah, it's from a play or some type of old...
I mean, that fits Sebastian, so...
Exactly. I feel like we might have heard it in the series. Like, maybe he does say it at one point.
Yeah.
But at this point in time, we don't know. And so, if anybody was wondering, that's what it means. He is going to raise hell.
Truth.
Yeah.
Foreshadowing.
Also, what I'm just wondering, like, what if these books were written in an age where, like, nobody had Google? Like, I would have just been completely lost, because I'm not cultured. Like, I don't know what any of the Latin is. I don't know any other languages. Like, I'd just be like, skip over some of this. I don't know what it says.
I never Googled any of this stuff the first time I read it. I never Because that wasn't a thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
I will say.
And now I'm just like, Google everything.
I reread Twilight not too long ago for a future episode that we're going to have. So I don't know when we're doing that. But it's crazy because those came out like 2006, 2007. And yeah. It's so hilarious to read like how technology has changed just in that short amount of time.
Uh-huh.
Like, she has no phone. Like, the whole scene where Bella is stalked and almost attacked and shit, like, that wouldn't even happen now because she would have a phone and a map and she would not get lost. And I don't know, it's just crazy. Like, it doesn't feel like it's been that long, but technology is just insane now.
Yeah. And then you think back and you're like, oh, yeah, I did live during that time. Like, I know. I do remember where
we did have landlines and we didn't Google everything and lived without Google Maps.
Yeah. Or like the time of the internet where you would have to use the dial-up, like the phone line, and then like, get off the phone, I'm on the internet.
Yeah, oh my God, that was like
my very early childhood, where I was like, can I go on Disney Channel website to play games?
Yes! Oh my God, yeah. Or AIM instant messaging, and then you would have to, like, sign on, and it would have to dial in.
Uh-huh. Yep. Uh-huh. And then you'd be like, why isn't my internet working? What's going on? And then the phone would ring. And then the phone would ring, and you're like, wow, somebody son wanted to get a hold of us that badly that they called so many times and cut the internet off. Like, because when you would call and somebody was using the internet, it would just say it was busy.
Yeah.
So you would have to call a lot of times to break through.
Really want it.
Yeah.
I saw a tweet, too, not too long ago. Well, it was a screenshot of a tweet on Instagram. But it was a chick who was like, I don't think y'all younger generations understand that when we had a crush or a friend and we called someone, like, you had to gamble with your life because their parents or someone or their brother could pick up the phone. And then you would have to have a whole ass conversation with them just to get to your friend or whoever. It's like, that's true.
Like, calling people? Nope. Hang up. It's not the person. Bye. Oh, man. And Shadowhunters just live like that forever. Like, they don't use technology still. And I'm just
madness.
Like, okay,
absolutely.
Wild.
How can you not even have a cell?
Yeah.
Make a magic, like a magical cell of some kind. I don't know.
Yeah. Can't you do that? Like, we don't need fire messages. We just need a cell phone that works in fairy. Like, that's
yeah.
it. Like, can you just get cell signal down there, please?
Yeah.
Just quickly search up books on the occult on my phone while I'm
just have one powered by magic through. And then you don't even need to worry about that.
Oh yeah, that's true. That's true. Do that. That way we don't need
Clary
fairy
can
rings.
Ruin
we
them
just
all.
Have text messages.
It'll work, yeah.
That's smart. She could just get, like, technology
right? That's what
and,
I'm saying.
Like, make a rune. Why hasn't she done this? Okay, on to this next one. So this is in the chapter The Stuff of Heaven on page 286 for me. They are in Prague. And they are talking about, like, a legends and a clock tower. So, I'm going to read a little snippet. So, there's a legend, he said, leaning forward with his hands cupped around a mug of hot cider, that the king had the eyes of the clockmaker put out after this clock was finished, so he could never build anything as beautiful again. So, there is a whole, like, page and a half of them talking about Prague and, you know, how nice it is and all of the different, like, architecture and stuff. And Cassie says, Prague is one of my favorite cities. The old town clock here is the subject of a legend that the clockmaker was blinded when he finished his work, so he could never make another clock as beautiful. So, like, I put this one in here because even though it's just, like, not related to the books, it's a fun fact about Cassie. I just will never get over how well-traveled she is.
It's true.
Like, oh, Prague is one of my favorite cities. Like, I've only been to one place out of the U.S., and it was Italy, and I don't know I don't know any of the lore. I couldn't tell you.
I went to Canada once when I was a kid. That's as far as I've gotten.
I just want to be as cool as Cassie, so if anybody wants to take me to Prague, so that way I can also say, oh yeah, Prague is one of my favorite cities, and like,
you.
go learn about the clock tower and how the clockmaker was blinded. Like, I just want to do everything that she does.
I did a reread of this series, like, like 4 or 5 years ago now, I think. And I did the audiobooks, which is its own episode in itself.
Yeah.
Don't get me started, but...
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I vividly remember rereading, like, re-listening to this book, and I was like, this is my favorite one now, like, reading it the second time. And I remember this whole, that whole section where they talk about Prague, because one of my friends actually went to Prague she lived there for like a year or something, I can't remember, and she ended up meeting her now fiance, and I've never been there at all, but it was cool to hear about it and having that connection. And I just love reading about like cities where you actually kind of know of or have been to, or so that was cool. I don't know,
I love that too, but I live in Los Angeles, where like literally so much content is created, I'm just like, that it's nothing like this, guys. Like, don't fall for the hype.
It's all lies.
Yeah. Side note related to Shadowhunters, though, I'll tie it back. Is that so? The Dark Artifices is located. It's center. What's the word I'm looking for? It's in LA. Takes place in Los Angeles. That's where the Institute is in that series. But in the back of the book, Cassie has a note that says, like, Cassie's Guide to LA or Emma's LA or something like that. She even notes, she was like, I had to fudge the map a little bit, because if I didn't and all of the places were located where they actually are, like, they would be traveling in the car for hours. And I'm like, thank you. Thank you for, like, being real and acknowledging that, like, a drive from Malibu to Pasadena to get to the freaking shadow market would be, like, 2.5 hours in traffic. Like,
far.
Nobody is doing that drive without proper planning and waking up hella early to make sure you skip traffic, or waiting until super late at night when everybody's home from work. Yeah. Like, there's no way. So just in case anybody was wondering, that's what it's like driving in LA traffic. okay, cool. So going back in, this is in the chapter The Bone Chandelier on page 300 for me. They are talking to Azazel, and in case anybody wants to know, Azazel is like a very famous prince of hell. I think he's a prince of hell. Maybe he's just a demon, but
I think he's a prince.
He's not nice.
No.
So, oh yeah, demon skin, blah blah blah. So they're all, they summon him to ask him a question, and Simon is there. And so it says, Azazel stopped in his tracks, his hands, the nails tipped with the same sharp iron as his teeth, curled in toward his sides. Wanderer, he breathed, is it you? Simon stayed frozen, blah, 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 blah. And so the little note says, Wanderer, Azazel is referencing the legend of the Wandering Jew, cursed to walk the earth. Again, just very, like, I would have never known that.
Nope.
Like, I wouldn't have taken, I would have just taken that word for word, just, like, face value and not thought anything of it. I wouldn't have put two and two together to, like, even know what to Google at this point. Like, the reference is just, like, so interesting to me that she has incorporated so much of her Jewish background into the, into the books. So...
Yeah, that's cool. I thought
that was really cool. Yeah. Okay. Moving on. They are... So we're now back to Sebastian and Clary. And they're in Paris now. And this is in the chapter As Ashes on page 336 for me. And the blurb says, the moment it closed... So she's there... He's punching in a code into a door. And the scene is... The moment it closed, she darted after him, pausing to key in the same code, X235, and waiting to hear the soft sound the moment the door was unlocked. And the little blurb is, X235 was the door code to the apartment in Paris I lived in college.
Oh my god.
This was my neighborhood. So, like, again, stop like, it. I went to college in Paris. Again, Cassie,
I already
are you
love
so
you.
Cool?
Just stop it.
I know. Like, I had an apartment in Paris in college. I'm not bitter. And this was my apartment code. But anyway, the neighborhood they're in, it says that, I don't think she gives, like, an actual, like, oh, yeah, it does. Rue de la Seine, Rue Jacob, and then something else. And there are signs that point in different directions showing ways to the Bastille, to Notre Dame, and to the Latin Quarter. So if anybody knows where that is and wants to take us so we can see where Cassie went to school and college, let us know. Where
at this point, we're going to be on a world tour.
Yeah. Like, literally, Cassie has been all over the world, and now I want to do it all. Let me see if there gives... they were creeping along the Boulevard Saint-Germain. So if anybody knows where that is, let us know. Like,
yeah,
do a Paris tour, and we can go see where she...
Oh my God.
Spent her time during her college years. But yeah, moving on, because I'm...
crying in the club, because...
thoroughly jealous.
I haven't been to Paris. I've only been to Canada.
Of her otherworldliness.
The same, right?
I also love that that's why she can talk about so many places in her stories, because they're places that she's already been to.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, I visited. Like, this is where I used to live. And I'm just like, cool, cool.
Authentic descriptions, yeah.
Okay, so in the chapter Magdalena, page 358 for me, they are at a coffee shop, I think, and they're talking about, Clary is talking about the hot chocolate. So they sit down, and she says she had to admit the chocolate was excellent. They made it at your table, which was small and wooden, as were the old-fashioned high-back chairs, in a blue ceramic pot, using cream, chocolate powder, and sugar. The result was a cocoa so thick your spoon could stand up in it. They had croissants, too, and dunked them in the chocolate. So this place that they're talking about is actually a real place. Again, so cool. It says, for reference, this hot chocolate place is real. It's called Le Hure Gourmand. And it's, she says you have to find it in a very tiny passage. So, again, just Cassie being cool, being like, yeah, I know all of the cool chocolate places in Paris. So
I think I've heard of again, this hot chocolate, anybody... but I didn't know, like, the place. I forget where I've heard of it before, but...
Yeah, if anybody wants to take us to this cool little chocolate spot, please. Let us know.
I want hot chocolate.
We'll be forever grateful.
It's midsummer, and I'm like, I want hot chocolate.
We'll go visit when it's cold. Okay, we're getting towards the end. I only have a few more. Actually, one more, and then just, like, a note on the short story. But in chapter... Here it is. In the chapter titled Raziel, I don't know how you pronounce it, but whichever way you pronounce it, that's what the chapter is. She mentions, what page is this? Page 430. Simon is talking to the angel. So he's saying, you are stubborn, a veritable warrior of your people, like him whose name you bear, Simon Maccabeus. As he gave everything for his brother Jonathan, so shall you give everything for your Jonathan, or are you not willing? And then Simon says, it's not just for him, but yes, whatever you want, I will give it to you. And then he says, if I give you what you want, will you also vow never to bother me again? And then...
Is this when they go to Luke's farm and then he, like, raises him from the lake or something?
Yes. Says,
that
very well.
That was bonkers. That's crazy.
Very well. I will tell you what I desire. I desire that blasphemous mark on your forehead. I would take the mark of Cain from you, for it was never your place to carry it.
So he did get it in the third book.
Yeah, and he has it through the fourth, the whole part of the fourth book.
I'm editing the last episode.
And we're talking about when he gets it off.
We were like, when does he get the Mark of Cain? I can't remember. Anyway.
Yeah. Because Clary puts it on him for protection, because the whole problem in the fourth book with him is that they're coming after him because everyone wants something.
Yeah.
Like, oh, he's a,
like,
daylight or whatever, blasphemous. Yeah. So she's like, okay, if I do this, like, no one will come after you. And that was
the
whole
thing. That's how he gets it off. I forgot. Okay, good to know.
Yeah. He's talking to the angel, and he calls him Simon Maccabeus. I think that's how you say it. and there's this whole scene, and there is the scene with the sword of the Archangel Michael, blah, blah, blah. So then Cassie writes in here, I wanted to draw a line to Jewish mythology and history so as to illuminate that these angels are not specifically Christian. There is a legend that the name Maccabee is an acronym for a Hebrew phrase meaning who is like you among the heavenly powers, God. And then she says that it's the inspiration on Glorious. And so I just think it's so cool that she just put, like, combines everything that people know because it's so popular. Like, everybody knows angels and demons, obviously. Mm-hmm. Like, you may or may not believe in them based off of your faith and all of that stuff. But
yeah,
the fact that there are so many, like, little tiny details and call-outs where it's like, oh, yeah, these are just everybody's angels. These are just everybody's everything. Yeah. Like, it doesn't matter what you believe in, that if you believe in some type, like, it exists for you.
Yeah, it's cool that she, so, yeah. Like, the whole book is based around angels and demons, which seems so
Christian.
Yeah, it seems so faithful to just one religion, but she's actually incorporates, like, a little bit of everything, and I really love mm-hmm. that she's inclusive like that.
Yeah. So, yeah, there is
a lot you of... said the Maccabees, and all I could think about was the episode of Friends when Ross is trying to educate his son about, like, Jewish faith, and he's, like, there, and he's in the armadillo costume, and he's like, there are these people called the Maccabees! And he's dressed as an armadillo.
Yes.
Anyway, I'm sorry.
Also, it says, just for more context on this, on the Maccabees, since you brought it up, the angel says, you are the blood and faith of the Maccabees. Some say the Maccabees were marked by the hand of God. In either case, you are a warrior of heaven, Daylighter, whether you like it or not. So, yeah, I think it's really cool. Because, like, you read all of this stuff and you just assume, like, Christian theology, but right. really it's, like, Christian and Jewish mythology and history and just a bunch of stuff. So I think that that's really mm-hmm. cool. And then side note is that the short story in this book,
I completely forgot about this,
Becoming Sebastian Verloc, a new scene showing Jonathan Morgenstern's first meeting with Sebastian Verloc,
the real Sebastian
and
Verloc.
There's correct the guy who he impersonates and unalives to be able to impersonate mm-hmm. him. So that is in here. And I feel like it's only a few pages, but since there are so many different end scenes in these books, if you guys want us to do a little, like, half episode of going through all the short stories ever in the Shadowhunter world, we can. But you might be able to find it online. Unclear.
Yeah, let us if that's what you want.
But yeah.
The short story that's at the end of the first book is just the flipping cutest thing ever. Oh my god.
Yeah. There's also so many short stories in, like, the special first editions of, like, the normal published books that are out.
There's a ton flooding around, and I don't even know them all. There was a whole series of short stories on Tumblr that I just didn't know existed for a long time.
It's called The Secrets of Blackthorn Manor.
Yeah.
And I am not caught up with those just because, like, again,
I didn't know they were happening for a long time. And then by the time I figured it out, I was like, oh shit, I can't read all these.
Yeah, I did know that they were happening, but it was just like, so I cannot consume media like that. Like, it's not my cup of tea.
Yeah.
But then she announced that they might be doing a Kickstarter. She was like, does anybody want to see this, like, bound and published in book format? And so she might be doing, like, a Kickstarter thing to have that be a book. And so I'm like, I will pay all the money. Yeah.
Please.
So she also has the cool little, like, it's a compendium called the Shadowhunter Codex. So we can also go over that.
I've never gone through that, actually. So I would want to do that for me.
Yeah. So I have a copy. So we can do that. We can do all the short stories. And there's also... I think it's called, like, Notable Downworlders and Denizens of the Shadowhunter world. And it has, like, backstories on all, not all of them, but most of the main characters.
Oh, cool.
So we can do that. That can be, like, another episode of Shadowhunter Sunday that we do on a later day. But just so everyone's aware, there is a short story out there where Sebastian meets Sebastian.
I feel like I've read that before, but I can't remember.
Yeah, I think it's probably from somewhere, if I'm being honest. I'm not 100% sure, though. Okay, that was all of book five. It had a lot of good stuff, so I'm glad that we were able to get some good, fun facts on your favorite one. And now we're going into book six, which is City of Heaven and Fire. I honestly can't even really remember
book six at all.
So much happens in this book. This book is so freaking thick, and I did not write down that many notes because most of them were just like,
oh my god,
sentimental, heartfelt, like, this was so hard to write, or whatever it was. So I only have a few just to let level set everybody's expectations. But we're gonna jump right in. So my first one is already like deep into this book.
I'm reading your notes. It's like 100.
On page 131 of this book, in the chapter Measure of Revenge, I think, I don't know if he has died yet or not, but she's talking about Jordan, and the note says, I always knew Jordan would die. There was no real way to make up for what he'd done. But Sebastian is still shockingly cruel here. And I think he dies at the Praetor Lupus, right? Like, Sebastian attacks the Praetor Lupus while Jordan is there, and they all...
I remember Jordan dies, but I cannot remember how he dies.
Yeah, and Sebastian is telling Maya, like, oh, your boyfriend's dead, by the way. And so she's saying that he's being cruel for just, like, throwing that out there to Maya, being like, I killed him. But yeah, I think he goes to the Praetor Lupus.
Your note says she always, your note on the script says she always knew Jordan would die because he can never make up for what he did. And then you said, what did he do?
Yeah, I don't, I was like, what, I've been thinking about this since I wrote it. And I was like, the only thing I can think of is that he turned Maya into a werewolf, right? Like, he, like, spazzed out and, like, left her to figure it out on her own. That's the thing that he did.
Yeah.
Like, they were dating, and then he turned her into a werewolf because he didn't have control of his own powers and stuff.
But then he comes back and they date, right? Like, doesn't she date after?
Yeah, he comes back. He comes back, and I remember he's a dick, knows.
And I hated him, and I was not upset that he died, but now I can't completely remember
why. No, I liked
him.
Jordan. I liked you Jordan did? A lot. And I don't know why. Like, I don't remember hating him.
Oh,
I hated him,
but I can't remember why I hated him.
I didn't like Maya. I didn't like Maya at all, but I feel like my annoyance from her came from the fact that, like, she was always just like, oh, Simon, I want to be with Simon. Oh, I hate you. What do I do now? I'm going to go be with Jordan. And then, like, oh, Jordan's gone. I'm going to go be with Bat. Like, she was such a strong character.
Girl, you don't
but,
need
like,
those
most.
Men.
Yeah, but most of the time was spent with her being, like, sad or depressed or angry about some boy or another. And I'm like, poor girl. Just, like.
Now looking
be
back
a
on it,
be a cool werewolf.
Yeah, now looking back on it, I feel like she was such a strong character that it frustrates me that she was used as, like,
yes.
a plot device for drama.
Yes. Yeah. And I'm just like, I just was always so annoyed that those were her storylines. Like, oh, you come back and you're like, I'm dating Maya now. And then she finds out that her ex-boyfriend Jordan is here. And he's like, I'm sorry I came back for you. And I'm just like, this is... We didn't need this. We didn't need to have, like, ex-boyfriend turned you into a werewolf on accident and left you there because you didn't know what he was doing.
Yeah.
And, like,
I feel like something happens. I feel like Jordan, like, does something that made me mad. Like, I feel like he gets angry with her or does something.
Yeah, I don't remember. Maybe he, like...
There was a reason why I hated him, and I can't remember what it was.
I don't either. I honestly feel like maybe I'm just hallucinating liking him, and I just don't remember enough to have
I mean,
a
he's
valid
a
opinion.
Man who turns into a, he's a hot man who turns into a werewolf, so you'd think that I'd be in love with him, but
yeah,
I don't know.
Don't know. Maybe it's because is he the one who had anger issues, and then he, like,
that's what I thought.
Turns himself around, and then he's all, like, mellow, like, hippie, like, oh,
I
peace
think
and
so.
Love. Like,
but then doesn't let's... something happen and he loses it again or something? I don't know.
I don't know. I we need to reread. This is
ridiculous.
This is the part where I say I honestly don't know. I'm probably
we're
making a lot of fake
information. We're basically the heads
up.
Of the Shadowhunter fan club, and we can't even remember the effing books.
But anyway, Jordan does something and he dies. So that's and she always knew that he would die for what he did, and I think it was. The whole Maya thing, the way that he treated Maya before we meet him when he's all, like, rehabilitated. But I don't remember how bad it was. So if somebody can remember and tell me if it was, like, shockingly evil, and I just, like,
blocked it out
of my brain. Let me know. Okay. So then we're gonna jump 500 pages over because there's really nothing of note in the middle section of this where there are any notes. I'm, like, literally skimming through and I don't see anything. So I guess we're not missing out. But we're gonna jump to chapter Call It Peace. This is page 667 in my book for anybody curious. So Alec and Magnus have made up and they are all lovey-dovey. And...
oh, yeah, they break up,
kind of. Yes. Yes, they break up, they make up, and so this is a scene between them. And Magnus says,
I had a lot of time to think. Is it because Alec is an idiot? He's like, I can't do this. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, he goes to Camille.
I remember being so annoyed. I was like, what are you doing?
Yes, he goes to Camille to ask Camille about Magnus's history, I think. And then I think at one point he's trying to figure out if there's a way to make him mortal to, like, not live forever.
Oh my god. And I was so annoyed with him during that whole thing. Anyway.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And he's like, why did you betray me? And I was like, freaking Alec.
Ugh.
But they get back together, so it's fine.
And they become the most amazing couple ever.
So Magnus tells Alec, I had a lot of time to think after we broke up, and I wrote this. He pulled a notebook out of the inside pocket of his jacket. Just a very ordinary spiral-bound notebook of lined paper. But when the wind flipped it open, Alec could see that the pages were covered with thin, looping handwriting. Magnus's handwriting. I wrote down my life. And then Alec says, your whole life? And he says, not all of it, but some of the incidents that have shaped me. How I first met Raphael when he was very young. How I fell in love with Camille. The story of the Hotel du Mort. Some of my early loves and some of my later ones, names you might know, Herondale. And then he shakes his head and says, no, though there are a lot of Herondales in these pages. Will's son, James Herondale, was remarkable, and so was James' sister, Lucy. But I have to say, Stephen Herondale rather put me off of the family until Jace came along. That guy was a pill. So there's this whole
conversation. I'm so curious about Stephen now.
There's this whole conversation that Alec and Magnus have, and he just says, yeah, like, I wrote down my life for you. And then Cassie's note says, this is the Bane Chronicles.
Ah.
But also, it was so wonderful getting Alec and Magnus back together forever, and she underlined forever. But, like,
that's so cute.
That whole little scene, and he's talking about the Bane Chronicles, and then she wrote the Bane Chronicles for us, so it's like a book in a book, and I was like, oh my god, I love this. I
can see it, because I've read that one, and I know, like, yes. I remember the Hotel du Mort story and shit, so that's so cool.
Yep, and there's the whole story with Camille, there's also a story with Raphael, there's a story with James Herondale, and I think that
I don't
one,
remember that, so now I want to go back.
I think it's when he finds him crying in the snow. Like, he's out from a pub, and he sees, like, somebody stumbling, and he's like, Grace!
And he's, like, and he's all like crying. Love-struck about, ugh.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I remember that
and
now.
I was like, I love this so much. This is the kind of stuff that I eat up. Like, give me some references, and just, like, all of these world-building tidbits, and I'm in.
Yeah.
Like,
I love that stuff, too.
I'll buy it.
I'm dying to know about Steven now.
I think there is a story about the circle.
Is there? Okay. Was he in the circle? I can't remember.
Yes. Okay. Yes, because Valentine is the one who convinces him to ditch Luke's sister
and
go with What's-Her-Face.
We covered this already. Anyway, okay.
Also, now that I'm flipping through this, I didn't write it in here, but on page 700 in the epilogue chapter, Cassie writes, it was lovely just to get to write Jace and Clary being happy together at last. And I'm like, you could have done that if you would have just told us at the beginning of book two that they weren't related. Like, it's fine.
It's fine. Yeah.
It's fine.
Their entire relationship is just like them being pulled apart for seven books or six books.
It's fine. I could have lived with everything that happens in book 4-6. Like, if she would have just shortened the, like, possible incest just, like, slightly. Like, we didn't need a whole book and a half, almost two full books. We just, like, the ending of book 1 was fine. She could have cleared it all up at the beginning of book 2 and given us a different problem. But, like, it's fine. I will reread and read it over and over again.
Choices were made. We're still here. The other books don't deal with incest, and that makes me happy.
Yeah, you know what? George R.R. Martin, there's, like, actual incest in those books, and nobody seems to actually care about it, which I find kind of odd, but, like, you know. Yeah, I
never understood that.
The
Flowers in the Attic books, again, actual incest.
Yeah, it's, I don't know.
So it could always be worse, I guess.
I feel like every single episode we've done with these books, we always come back to this.
We're like, why?
And talk about how it's such a mainstream trope and topic and theme, and we don't understand it, but, like, let us know. There has to be some psychology on this, like, we don't...
Yeah.
Let's get past it as, like, a human beings.
I see webtoons and stuff about this, too, and I just don't... I don't understand.
Wow, then.
It makes me nervous to recommend these, because everyone has their own preferred reading order for how to read this series. My favorite is the publication reading order, which means that you have to read the first Mortal Instrument books, and then you start the Infernal Devices, and then you switch. Anyway... it makes me nervous to recommend this series to people who don't know, because I'm like, you have to get past this one thing, and then it gets really good, but you have to keep reading. I don't know.
That's why my preferred recommended order is chronological minus, The Last Hours. Like, I would have people read those last, but everything else I think fits in if you start with the Infernal Devices, and at least you get her better writing first, early on.
Yeah,
you get, like, the preferred, like, love triangle.
I just like seeing how she weaves stuff from the Infernal Devices
into
the later books. So I want people to experience that, but then I'm like,
Yeah, it is. I just like knowing, too. Like, I'm not... The only one I would say is not super spoilery, or is super spoilery, is The Last Hours. Like, The Last Hours is spoilery for The Dark Artifices, so I would say that's the only one I would not recommend reading in order of, like, chronologically. Like, the stuff that gets spoiled from The Infernal Devices, I'm just like, it's not of import. Like, it's just, like, it seems obvious to me, so I'm like, yeah, it's fine. It's not really a spoiler. It's kind of just, like, Easter eggy for me.
Yeah.
But, again, you said everyone has their own preferences, so I prefer that order. Loretta prefers publication order.
It depends what you want, really. Let us know
if you have a different order. Yeah.
I mean, can you get through three books to get to the good stuff?
Get to the other side?
Yeah. If you can't, I mean, I get it.
Yeah. I also
question people. That was the way I read it, because that's the way I had to read it, because there were no other options at the time.
Yeah. Oh, man. Okay, last one. I actually two. I have a second note, but I already said this earlier. I'll just repeat myself. But the last one from the book is in the epilogue on page 711 for me. It is Tessa talking to somebody. I don't know who she's talking to. But it says, she touched the pearl bracelet at her wrist and then his face with light adoring fingers. And what is he? Oh, I think she's talking to Jim. And what is he now? She whispered, happy or wistful or sad or lonely. Do not tell me he is lonely. For you must know, you always knew. And then Cassie wrote in here, the pearl bracelet, Tessa's 30th anniversary gift from Will. Aww. And then I said sobbing.
Stop.
And I said sobbing, because that's really cute.
That's adorable.
And she's still wearing it.
Oh, God.
But then she's like, yeah, Jem is a hot human again.
Wearing the bracelet, she's like, hey.
I'm so salt. Okay, this is another episode, because, man, I have my PowerPoint presentation ready on Tessa, Will, and Jem. Let's talk about it. But anyway, I still thought that was cute. My last note was just, again, reiterating that the last book's annotations were just different versions of, this was so sad because of blah, 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 or, like, this was so painful to write, like, yeah, we know. Like,
I know.
A lot of bad things happen in book six. Like, we were there.
The first few books had that, too, and I was, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like,
anyway,
you don't have to tell me I read it.
We know we cried. But
you're just
anyway,
out here
we made it.
Us. We made it.
We made it to the end. That was all of the, or not all of them, but all of our favorite and more interesting annotations from the Mortal Instruments books, the Lit Joint Lit Joy Crate special editions. So yeah, that's everything we got for you. Hopefully, there's so much content, like we said, so we will be back with more Shadowhunter Sunday episodes, but just...
We'll never shut up about Shadowhunter, saga. But next week is going to be different.
Yes, this completes our trilogy in true Cassie fashion. We have our own trilogy of episodes, and our trilogy is now complete, but we'll come back with spinoffs.
Yes.
At some point.
More rants. We'll continue later. So, on that note, please... Come and follow us. We are on Instagram. We are now on Fable. Come and follow our book club. We are going to be reading The Curse of Saints this month and then talking about it at the end of the month.
We're on everything. We're just on all the things. At Emo Girls Guide. We're on
TikTok. Yeah, at Emo Girls Guide. So come find us. And we hope that your day is blessed with main character energy.
Main character energy! Woo! Woo! Thank you.